I want to thank our pastor for the opportunity to preach in his absence. It is a great privilege, and it's something that I do not take lightly. So if you have your Bibles, please go with me to the Old Testament. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles, and if you'd please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Second Chronicles chapter 18, and we'll start reading verse 28, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. The Bible says there in verse 28, "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria, he had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, It is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, Turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. And about the time of the sun going down, he died." Thank you. You may be seated. I want to share with you a story about a little girl named Laura Buxton. In 2001, a 10-year-old girl named Laura Buxton released a balloon into the sky. Inside the balloon was a note. The note had her name and address, and she asked the finder of the balloon to write her back. After 7 days and traveling 140 miles, the balloon found itself into the hands of another 10-year-old girl, also named Laura Buxton. The Lauras wrote to each other until one day they decided to meet. Coincidentally, the day that they met, they were both wearing matching outfits. They both had medium-length brown hair. They were the same height. They each had a 3-year-old Labrador retriever. They each had a pet rabbit and a pet guinea pig, whom they both brought to the meeting unannounced. Laura and Laura remain friends unto this day. Now, this is a warm and cute story about mere chance, but it is true nonetheless. Don't confirm that right now. And in our text tonight, we read a true story that is not so warm and cute, and at first glance appears to be a story of mere chance, but much more than that, it is a tragic story that we can all learn from. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and your word. I pray that you would remove all distractions aside. Help us to focus on your word in these next moments that we have together. Help us apply it to our lives. We love you and we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text tonight, we find the story of King Ahab. King Ahab, the king of Israel, decides to go to war against Syria. He wants to take back the city of Ramoth-Gilead. This chief city once belonged to Israel, but the king of Syria had overtaken it. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, comes to visit King Ahab, and so Ahab asks Jehoshaphat to join him in the battle. Now, before they went to the battle, the prophet Micaiah prophesies the death of Ahab. But King Ahab, he chooses to ignore the prophet and goes to war anyways. And as they were traveling to Ramoth-Gilead, Ahab tells Jehoshaphat, you know what, I got a great idea. Why don't you take my chariot and put on your royal apparel, and I'm going to disguise myself as a common soldier and go into the battle. So Jehoshaphat, for whatever reason, that's another sermon for another day, He thinks it's a good idea. Many commentators say either Jehoshaphat was a big idiot or he had a lot of faith in God that God was going to deliver him. So in the meantime, the Syrian king tells his commanders, now look here, let's not worry about the infantry. Don't pay attention to the soldiers. All we want is the king. I want all of you to concentrate on the king and get a hold of Ahab. Because if we can kill him, then the rest of the people will be so fearful, so demoralized, that they will flee and surrender, and we will win the battle. So these captains and their soldiers, They see Jehoshaphat, and they start chasing him, thinking it was King Ahab. And when they finally catch up to him, they realize it is not King Ahab, and so they let him go and stop chasing him. Now imagine at this point, King Ahab, he thinks his master plan is working. But while all this is going on, a no-name bowman at random launches an arrow into the air, hitting King Ahab and fatally wounding him. And you can find this story as well in 1 Kings. 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles are both in the division of the Bible known as the books of history. C.S. Lewis wrote that history is written by the finger of God. In Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, he says that the things that were written aforetime, the Old Testament, they were written for our learning. So what can we learn from this story tonight? The title of my sermon is Avoiding the Arrows of the Aimless, Nameless Bowman. Avoiding the Arrows of the Aimless, Nameless Bowman. If you want to avoid the arrows of the aimless, nameless bowman, consider these 3 points. Point number one, do not ignore the word of God. You know, throughout the 22-year reign of King Ahab, there were 3 prophets that would bring King Ahab the message of God. King Ahab, he had other preachers and prophets, but they were all false prophets. I'm talking about Scripture tells us 3 real prophets that would bring God's message to Ahab. Ahab, he did not take heed to these prophets. He continued to disobey and ignore the prophets even to his death. We see it here in this chapter. If you were to go back and read the beginning of chapter 18 here, you're going to see that the prophet Micaiah, he prophesies of his defeat and death. Yet he ignores the man of God, and he decides to continue with his plans. And we see his life ended as the prophet Micaiah foretells. Now, what are some of the consequences of Ahab ignoring the prophets of God in his life? Well, if you know, he marries wicked Jezebel. She was a fanatical worshiper of Baal, and because of her influence, King Ahab also begins to worship Baal. And then later, he has a daughter named Athaliah, who later becomes the most brutal, bloody queen in the entire Bible. And King Ahab, he ends up being the most wicked king up to his lifetime. What a sad testimony. But I want to declare to you tonight that there are severe consequences when you choose to ignore the word of God in your life. When God's message is proclaimed, you should listen with attentive ears, regardless of who's standing behind this pulpit. I'm not just saying that because it's me, but the Bible teaches us that this pulpit of wood, the purpose of it is for God's word to be preached, and you should be ready to hear anytime someone's standing behind it. God's word, we understand, comes through other mediums as well. Whether you're reading it, listening to it via podcast or some Bible app, or you're watching a service on YouTube, you ought to be paying close attention. Proverbs 28:29 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Abomination is a very strong word. According to Webster's dictionary, it is defined as extreme hatred or detestation. Now, we all want our prayers to be heard and answered. I definitely don't want my prayers to be hated or detested by God. The Bible also talks about quenching the Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit. When you and I choose to ignore God's word, we are guilty of quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. And so what truth will you hear tonight, and what decision will you make to apply it? Will you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? As Jesus would often say, those that have ears, let them hear. Don't just audibly hear with your ears tonight, but listen with an attitude of application. I don't know what brought you here tonight. Perhaps some of you came straight from work, you missed dinner, and I want to thank you for making the effort to be here. But if duty brought you here tonight, I want to challenge you to be sensitive enough to let the word of God work in your heart. I challenge you to take a step towards God at invitation time, right there in your pew or right here in the altar. Let the arrows of God's word penetrate your heart and not the arrows of God's judgment. Which leads me to my second point. If you're going to avoid the arrows of the aimless, nameless bowman, do not ignore the word of God. But point number two is, you cannot hide from God's judgment. You cannot hide from God's judgment. Ahab, he disguised himself as a common soldier. Let's read that again in verse 29. It says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go into the battle, but put on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle." Now remember that the Syrian captains, they were specifically looking for him. Verse 30 says, "Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only the king of Israel. And so King Ahab, he was able to successfully avoid the captains of the Syrian army. Ahab thought his clever plan was working. He was able to hide from man, but not from the judgment of God. Throughout Scripture, we see the failed attempts of man hiding from God. God says in Jeremiah 23, 24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Amos 9, 3 says, "And only they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea. Thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them." The psalmist David, he writes, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not me, not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." And David also wrote, "But God shall shoot them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded." David is known as the sweet psalmist, but he is also known as David the prophet. For you see, that is exactly what happened to Ahab. Ahab did not see where the arrow came from. No one knows who shot that arrow. I searched for archers of history on Wikipedia. I don't know why preachers always do that, but I did it. And anyone want to guess how many archers were listed in the Bible on Wikipedia? Zero. They had a category called historical. There was a category under historical figures. Nobody from the Bible. They had Robin Hood. It did say in parentheses that it was likely a fictional character, but probably based on multiple real figures. So I thought, okay, what's the next category? It was religious and mythological archers. By the way, that was one category. Kind of irritated me, but it didn't surprise me. So under the mythical and religious category, there was no one there from the Bible listed. Oh, they had Artemis, the Greek goddess of moon and archery, and they even had Cupid on their list. So I thought, well, surely the last category, fictional, perhaps they think the word of God is fictional. There has to be someone in the Bible in that category. No? Oh, I saw Legolas from The Lord of the Rings, and I saw Bard the Bowman from the movie The Hobbit. I saw the Green Arrow and Clint Barton, better known as Hawkeye. And I even saw John Rambo. And this one made me laugh, Link from the Nintendo video game Zelda. But the Bible has archers. In Genesis, we find Ishmael, son of Hagar. The Bible says he was an archer. Esau, Jacob's brother. The Bible says he was a skillful hunter with his bow. Jonathan, David's best friend, was an archer. And in Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah, it speaks of a nation called Elam, and the Bible says that the source of their military power were their archers. Now, I'm about to go on a rabbit trail, and since I'm not a long-winded preacher, I deserve one rabbit trail. Talking about military power, although in recent times I have been disappointed on our nation's leadership, how they have failed to display and flex our military might to keep the enemies at bay, the United States still has the greatest, most powerful military on the planet. I served on a nuclear-powered fast attack submarine, and I have seen with my own eyes the might of our military. Our submarines are far more superior than any other nation. No one has submarines like ours. It's like comparing a race between a Shelby Mustang and a Toyota Corolla. And if you got a Toyota Corolla, no offense to you. In fact, I kind of envy you because in 2 weeks I'm going to California where gas is $7 to $8 a gallon. And I told my wife, is there any way we can squeeze into a Toyota Corolla instead of an SUV? Or it's like a race between a Corvette, my favorite sports car, and a Kia. No disrespect to you if you have a Kia. By the way, if you have a Shelby Mustang or a Corvette, I want to be your BFF. Come meet me after the service. But our submarines are faster, go deeper, and are quieter, and carry far more firepower than any other submarines out there. I was on a submarine called the Fast Attack Submarine. The main objective of a Fast Attack Submarine is to seek and destroy. For most submarines, the torpedo is the weapon of choice. Much like a heat-seeking missile, when a heat-seeking missile is launched, it detects a source of heat. A lot of times it'll be on a fighter jet, the engine of a fighter jet, and it locks on its target, making it very difficult to maneuver or dodge. So once the torpedo detects its target, by listening to the characteristic of its sound, death and destruction is almost inevitable. And here in verse 33, the Bible says, if you read it with me, it says, "And a certain man drew a bow at a venture." Now that phrase, "at a venture," it speaks of simplicity. The arrow was shot with no target in mind. This bowman had no intent to hit anybody. It was a random shot at no one in particular. And can I tell you that nothing is ever random to God. God is in full control at all times and in all ways. This arrow shot by this no-name bowman flies through the air, and just like a heat-seeking missile, just like that noise-tracking torpedo, this sin-seeking, S-I-N, sin-seeking arrow finds its target and hits him right between the joints of his armor, piercing the one spot that was vulnerable. King Ahab was struck right on the bullseye. It was a kill shot. This aimless, nameless bowman turned out to be one sharp shooter. And if God can use a rod to bring judgment on a mighty Pharaoh, if God can use a shepherd boy and his sling to bring judgment on a 9-foot blaspheming giant, then God can use a no-name, aimless, nameless bowman to bring judgment on a wicked king of Israel. God's judgment on Ahab was inevitable and unescapable. So don't think for a second that you can hide from God's judgment. Consider asking yourself these questions. What have you been hiding from God? I think of what preacher said last week when you're stuck at an intersection and there's a guy next to you and he's got tinted windows and his windows are up and he's picking his nose and somehow he thinks that because the windows are up, he's invisible. I think that's how we treat God. We think that God doesn't see us. So here we are in the closet or hiding, scrolling, looking at junk you shouldn't be looking at, doing things that you might consider as a little sin, maybe even entertaining thoughts. Do you know that the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin? And the Bible talks about bringing into captivity every high thought or vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, if you're thinking something that's not right, you're going to sin against God, because that's where it all starts. It all starts with a thought. Don't think for a minute that God is unaware of your thoughts or your intents and God's not going to deal with you. God will judge you in his time and you will not be able to escape it. Yes, you can fool man. We can fool each other. We can put on our royal apparel like King Ahab did, and we can fool each other and fool our pastor and fool our church, fool your coworkers and your friends, but you cannot fool God. As the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot hide from God's judgment. This leads me to my last point. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God was not going to be mocked by Ahab's disobedience and wicked deeds. Newton's third law states that for every action, there's a reaction. So it is with God's law of sowing and reaping. There are unavoidable consequences to the bad choices we make in life. And some, you will have to deal with it for years after you've confessed and forsaken them. Why not avoid all the heartache and pain by making wise decisions now in sowing and walking in the Spirit? Would you look at verse 34 with me? It says, and the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. Ahab thought if he could just wait a little longer, if he could just keep low and endure just a bit more. And about the time of the going down of the sun, King Ahab dies. Indeed, the sun went down in more ways than one. The sun went down on his life physically and his soul damned forever. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And as we often hear our pastor say, that when we choose to sin, we choose to suffer. And the payment of sin in our lives brings forth death to our relationship with God, in our human relationships with each other, and our testimony. And God will not be mocked, and we will reap what we sow. When we consider our lives, the sun is going down, my friends. Life is but a vapor. And as the sun sets down upon our lives, what are we doing with it, with the time that we have left? Let's not waste it by ignoring God's word in our lives. Let's not waste it by trying to run from God. Let's not waste it by sowing to the flesh when we can be sowing to the Spirit, to life everlasting. This sermon is not for the people that are doing things they're not supposed to be doing. It actually also applies to the things that we should be doing that we're not doing. And that affects all of us here. Talking about forgiveness, dealing with bitterness, soul winning, witnessing to that family relative, witnessing to that friend, that longtime friend that you've had that you haven't witnessed to, witnessing, just giving someone a gospel tract. I know we're passing out flyers right now for Kids Crusade, and we understand the objective is that's for little boys and girls to get saved, but when's the last time you gave somebody a gospel tract? Don't ignore God's word. Do business with God tonight. Get that relationship right with whoever it is. Humble yourself before God sends his arrows of humbling. Because I would much rather humble myself than God humble me with his arrows. Friends, we cannot escape God's judgment. At the end of the day, at the going down of the sun, we will reap what we sow. So if you want to avoid the arrows of the aimless, nameless bowman, do not ignore the word of God. Realize that we cannot escape from God's judgment, and understand that we will reap what we sow.